Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. I pray that you join in this dialogue and discussion each and every day. And it's my prayer also that you share this broadcast with others, inviting them to tune in at the same time each day as we face the issues together. May I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So many times we find in society today, even among Christians, there's a grappling with issues, problems, difficulties. And it seems so often that more often, in fact, than not, an individual will go to counselors and an individual will go to psychiatrists and psychologists, or you go to friends and relatives and neighbors seeking advice and direction and find that you have all kinds of advice and direction. The best source to go to is the Word of God, going to the source that has an answer, and that is God's Word, the Bible. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then, if we want to know what is truth, Jesus himself gave us that directive when he said, "Thy Word is truth," in John 17:17. Just read an article a moment ago, online news. Says VA fixes rules to allow Bible and religious symbols. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but for many years now, the Veterans Administration will not allow Bibles or religious symbols or any tracts or paraphernalia, as it is called, of that type, religious materials or symbols, as they call it, into the veterans' hospitals or the veterans' units across America. So I'm thankful to see this. Let me just read you a brief blurb or two from it. U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has brought a breath of fresh air to its practices of allowing religious literature, symbols, and displays at the VA facilities, according to the First Liberty Institute. This article goes further to say FoxNews.com contributor Todd Starnes noted that a VA medical center in Augusta, Georgia, had banned high school carolers from singing Christmas songs containing religious references in the public areas of the hospital. In Iowa City, American Legion volunteers said that they could not hand out gifts to the veterans that are wrapped in Christmas paper. At a Dallas medical center, they refused to allow to accept a delivery of handwritten Christmas cards from local school children because the cards contained phrases like "God bless you." Further in the article, it says the VA will now allow patients and their guests to request and to be provided religious literature, symbols, and sacred text during visits to the VA chapel and during their treatment at the VA hospitals, and allow VA to accept donations of religious literature, cards, symbols, and material in all of its facilities and distribute them to veteran patients upon appropriate circumstances, whatever they would get, say that would be, or when the patrons request it. Well, I don't know about you, but we've just celebrated July the 4th, and that is liberty, freedom. And I believe that it is a wise decision, and it comes as a result of having President Donald J. Trump and the White House that's brought this about, that allows the veterans to truly be free and to be able to have religious literature material. And when they say religious literature and material, they're primarily talking about the Bible, the Word of God. And a number of years ago when this first happened, it was at Walter Reed Hospital, where they removed all Bibles from the rooms of the patients, the veterans. And now, at least there's, as the article says, a breath of fresh air. I'm thankful for that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about real freedom today. Real freedom. We're still celebrating freedom. We've just had a single day that was called Independence Day, but we still are looking at it during the course of the next few days in particular, because we're going to have Independence Day, Freedom Day, if you will, this Sunday in our church, July the 7th. You might say, well, why July the 7th when the July the 4th is passed? Well, it'd been strange to me to have July the 4th celebration on June 30th. So we select a Sunday closest to July the 4th each year to have that celebration. But I am delighted that we're going to be celebrating God and Country Day this Sunday in our church at 1221 Old St. Augustine Road, First Conservative Baptist Church. I've got Dr. Phelps with me in the studios today as we talk about religious freedom and the real freedom as we're going to talk about it. But before we get into our discussion with Dr. Phelps and the facts about real freedom and what real freedom is like, I read an article the other day that said God's Independence Day. And that's biblical freedom when you understand God's Independence Day and not just simply Independence Day as we know it. But ladies and gentlemen, I just simply believe it's wonderful to have the privilege to live in a nation that we call the land of the free and the home of the brave. And as I think about it and as I have researched it year after year after year and do broadcast on the subject, preach on the subject about religious liberties and freedom, I can't get away from the fact that some 243 years ago, 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence. They said, and I quote, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And ladies and gentlemen, you study the lives of those 56 men. It cost them their lives. It cost them their fortunes. It cost them their homes and their families, and ultimately their lives as a result of simply signing that one piece of paper that we refer to as the Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, our blessings and our liberties today are not accidental, for they are blessings and liberties, I believe, directly from the divine intervention of God. Most Americans, by the way, are not aware of the fact that inscribed on the top of the Liberty Bell displayed today at Independence Hall in Philadelphia reads, did you know this? Listen. Inscribed on the top of the Liberty Bell reads this: "Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." That's Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10, a verse of scripture on the top of our Liberty Bell. But ladies and gentlemen, liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants is what the Liberty Bell is talking about and representing there. John Adams said, "The general principles on which the faith are achieved of independence were the general principles of Christianity." John Adams further believed that the 4th of July should be a religious holiday. Perhaps you're saying, how is that so? For in his letter to Abigail, his wife, he wrote, speaking of July the 4th, John Adams wrote in that letter, "It should be celebrated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." And that's the way they viewed it then. But it has devolved from that to simply a time of firecrackers and a time of celebratory actions and attitudes and our families. It's wonderful to be able to celebrate July the 4th. But I don't know that we really understand the depth and the breadth of what we have in our liberties in America. And keep in mind, these liberties were not just derived from the aberrant thoughts of 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. These were men that had a faith and trust in God. They looked to him for the liberties that we have. And ladies and gentlemen, as we think about that, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone calls directly through to our studios and right to the microphones that we can answer your questions or have you to join in the dialogue and discussion today. But before we get into our in-depth dialogue today, I want to remind you again, God and Country Day, 10 o'clock this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're going to have the Groves Family Singers in concert with us this Sunday. I don't know if you've met them. I had the privilege of hearing them. We're going to play just a clip, just a little montage of some of their singing that you'll be blessed with this Sunday as you worship with us. And time won't matter.
to tell him what was right and what was wrong. So we asked an old-time preacher what to do. Just preach Jesus born in the wilderness when the bread from heaven came falling.
I heard about what you did for Jonah.
I heard about what you did for Jonah.
When we didn't go where we should have been.
Nothing else could help.
Some who can still be found, who will never give in and will never give up. We will stand our ground.
That was the Groves Family Singers. They'll be with us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, First Conservative Baptist Church. They'll be in concert. If you are looking for some good gospel music, this will be a wonderful opportunity. We'll have the Groves Family Singers. We'll have a wonderful message from the Word of God. We'll have the reenactment speech of Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry, if you've not heard that speech with passion and with zeal, Harry McKay does a wonderful job in the reenactment speech. Most people know Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, but are not familiar with the totality of that speech. So let me remind you, this Sunday, July the 7th, we'll be celebrating Independence Day, the birth of our nation, and we'll have Groves Family Singers singing, and we'll have Patrick Henry's reenactment speech. In case you've not heard that, let's just listen to a little sample of his speech that should intrigue you, encourage you, and challenge you to be here with us this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry in the past 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves in the house. Is it that insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed with a kiss. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comports with those warlike preparations that cover our waters and darken our land. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called in to win back our love? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. I ask, gentlemen, sir, what means this martial array? If its purpose be not to force us into submission, can gentlemen assign any other possible motive for it? Has Great Britain any enemy in this quarter of the world that justifies all this accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir! She has none. They are meant for us, and they cannot be meant for any other. They are meant to bind and rivet upon us those chains which the British ministry has been so long forging. And what have we to oppose them? Shall we try argument? Sir, we've been trying that for the past 10 years. Have we anything new to offer upon the subject? Nothing!
Ladies and gentlemen, you just listened to Harry McKay, a brief portion of his speech and the reenactment speech of Patrick Henry. I pray that you will come Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Dr. Phelps, we've had an opportunity to talk about, very briefly at the introduction of this broadcast today, about our founding fathers and the Declaration of Independence and their pledge of their futures, their fortunes, and their families, and that's literally what they did. But from a Christian perspective, our liberties are derived far beyond predate our Declaration of Independence. What do you say about that? And what would we say to our listeners today about the source of real freedom?
We believe that the source of real freedom is in the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story in the book of John, chapter 8, about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others, scribes, other leaders, who wanted to trick Jesus or cause him to falter in his speech. They brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst and asked Jesus about that. They said that this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and they pointed out that Moses in the law commanded that she should be stoned, and they asked Jesus, "What do you say?" And Jesus, of course, didn't answer them very quickly, but simply stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, and they continued to ask him what he would do, and he lifted up himself and said, "Let him that is without sin cast a stone at her." And again, he stooped down, wrote on the ground, and while he was doing so, they filed out one by one, from the eldest to the youngest. And there was no man standing in the midst. No, none of his accusers remained. And Jesus lifted up himself and saw the woman standing there and said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Wonderful story in the Bible. It teaches us two great things that the woman found. First of all was forgiveness. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." And she also found freedom. Go and sin no more. So she not only was forgiven, but she had freedom from the control of sin. One of the things that I realize that the Bible teaches is that we need the freedom that Jesus gives from the dominion of sin.
Yes.
In John chapter 8, Jesus talked about that in John chapter 8, verse 31. "If you continue in my word," Jesus said, "then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And those who stood around him says, "Why, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them again, verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever." But he says again in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So he was talking about this freedom that we need from the bondage of sin.
So the real freedom that we have today, that literally predates our Declaration of Independence, is the freedom that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know him, we're set free, free of sin, free of self, free of Satan. That doesn't mean that there's not temptation, that there is the potentiality of yielding. But as I've said, Dr. Phelps, when Jesus Christ died on the cross positionally, we were set free.
Yes. Actually, when Jesus said, "The Son shall make you free," he was talking about a freedom that meant freedom from the contamination of sin.
Yes.
That which defiles us inwardly, depresses our spirit, devastates our lives, deprives us of the joy that's in our soul. Not only does he free us from the contamination of sin, but from the condemnation of sin, from the control of sin, and from the consequences of sin. But primarily what I want to talk about today is this freedom that Jesus gives us from the dominion of sin. When Jesus spoke to the woman, "Go and sin no more," he was not telling her to go on in your sin, but he was saying, you have the freedom to then to live to please God.
Yes.
And serve God. So what we're talking about today is the freedom from the dominion of sin. When we obey the Word of God, we have a freedom from the bondage of dominion. I want to turn to Romans chapter 6 and read something that the Apostle Paul says about this, how that we should not continue on in sin. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and following, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And this is talking about dominion. God says, sin shall not have dominion over you. What we're talking about here in this passage is the life-dominating habits, the immoral lifestyle, the ways of the ungodly. Knowing the truth gives us freedom from the control of sin.
That's right.
If you find yourself addicted to alcohol or marijuana or other drugs, you're under bondage. That's the bondage of dominion. If you find yourself involved in bad habits, you're in bondage. By a sin-dominating lifestyle, you're behaving in disobedience. That's what Romans 6:16 says. "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey." So someone said of those who are caught up in the immoral lifestyle, they can't help it. We cannot help ourselves, but God can.
Yes.
John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Like a person trapped in quicksand, we can overcome by the help of God. We can be overcomers from the entrapments of sin. We can't free ourselves, but God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can. You see, what we need is not just deliverance from sin. We need a deliverer so that we will be controlled by the Lord, not controlled by sin. We can choose to refuse to be involved in life-dominating bad habits. We can choose to serve the Lord. When we obey the gospel of Christ, we have freedom. So we can choose to refuse to continue in the entertaining way of X-rated, R-rated TV shows, movies. We can choose to be clean. We can choose to refuse the impure thinking, the vile, dirty, unclean thoughts that fill our minds. We can be pure. We can choose to refuse the drinking of alcoholic beverages and all of that kind of life. We can be sober. We can refuse to be controlled by gambling, by cards, lottery, whatever, the covetousness of that and the greed. We can be content. We can choose to refuse the dressing in immodest clothing, shameful, scanty. You can be modest. We can choose to refuse the living in the perverted, lewd, luscious, lustful, immoral lifestyle. We can live a moral life. We can choose to refuse the speaking in obscene, filthy, indecent speech. We can be respectful. When Jesus said, "Go and sin no more," he meant for us to have freedom to serve God, not sin.
Absolutely. And Dr. Felton, we talk about that freedom that we have. Positionally, we've been set free in Christ when he died on the cross and shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine, for the sins of the whole world. But there's coming a day, and Dr. Phelps, if we can wrap up our thoughts on this, there's coming a day that not only will we be free from the power of sin, but there will be the freedom from the very presence of sin.
Amen.
We're talking about the rapture of the church when ultimately we'll be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. Speak to us for a minute or two on that, and then we'll wrap up with another quote from Patrick Henry that we'll be able to hear this Sunday.
The passage I read here in John chapter 8 had to do with the people who were living in bondage, but they were denying it. And many people are like that today. They do not want to admit that they are controlled by sin. You see, verse 34, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." That means that whoever continues on in that way of life then are servants of sin. They're in bondage. These people that Jesus was ministering to did not realize that. Their fathers were in bondage in Egypt. They denied that. Their ancestors were in bondage in Babylon. They were now in bondage to Rome, the Roman emperor, governor, and the soldiers. But the verse 34 talks about the worst bondage of all, and that's the bondage to sin.
Bondage to sin. And as we talk about that, there's a freedom that we have today to say yes to Jesus Christ. And one day, we're going to be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. We'll be free from the very presence of sin, and we'll be able to live throughout all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again that this Sunday will be God in Country Day. We're looking forward to having you join with us. We'll have the Groves Family Singers, the Patrick Henry reenactment speech. We'll have barbecue, and then we'll move on to the celebration of the groundbreaking of the future development of Shepherd's community, Shepherd's Care Community for the Senior Living. We're looking forward to that Sunday, having you with us. Let's just play a brief little clip again as we close this broadcast of Patrick Henry and his words, that wonderful speech that we know of as the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, and then we'll close our broadcast today.
It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
That's just a little sample, ladies and gentlemen, of that wonderful speech that you will be able to hear this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at First Conservative Baptist Church. Again, we invite you to come and be with us. Join with us in this special day, God in Country Day, as we celebrate our independence as a nation and independence as God's independence in us through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.